In this episode of The Flophouse, we discuss Saw 3, a movie that delivers exactly what it promises. It is, in fact, the third Saw movie. And now, the special Halloween remix of The Flophouse theme.
When I was working in my laboratory late one night, there were a bunch of werewolves there, and they were totally jamming. And there were also mummies. The werewolf and mummies were friends. And there were two Draculas there. And an invisible man! This is only funny to you, goddammit!
Here is a partial synopsis of Saw 3, courtesy of Wikipedia. In flashback scenes, Detective Eric Matthews, Donnie Wahlberg, escapes the bathroom he was left in Saw 2 by breaking his foot. He gets into a vicious fight with Amanda Young, Shawnee Smith, who eventually overcomes him and leaves him for dead. Before she leaves, Matthews calls Amanda a junky bitch and tells her she isn't Jigsaw, causing her evident distress. Other flashbacks show that Amanda had been working with John Kramer, the Jigsaw killer, Tobin Bell, prior to the events of the first film. In the present, Detective Carey, Dina Mayer, is investigating the corpse of Jigsaw's latest victim, intrigued by the fact that his trap was inescapable, and a break with Jigsaw's M.O. When Carrie returns home, she is kidnapped and put in a trap of her own. When the given escape method fails and Amanda arrives, Carrie realizes this trap is also inescapable and is killed. Meanwhile, a dying Jigsaw orders the abduction of two final victims, Lynn Denlin, a skilled but depressed doctor, and Jeff Reinhardt, a father obsessed with revenge against the drunk driver that killed his son. A collar holding several shotgun shells and hooked to Jigsaw's medical equipment is locked on Lynn, who is tasked with keeping John alive until Jeff's tests are completed under threat of death. If John, the Jigsaw, flatlines, the shells will go off and kill her. Jeff is led through an abandoned meat packing plant, where he is given the choice to rescue three of his top targets of revenge from a variety of timed traps. Does Jeff make it through? Does he survive the test? Does anyone survive? If previous episodes of this podcast are any indication, all will be spoiled for you before we're done. And now let's join the others in the Flophouse.
I was really drunk. I don't remember.
All right, let's stop arguing over which podcast we were drunkest in and start the podcast.
Sure, let's start it right now.
Welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Simon Fisher. And I'm Stuart Willington, but I have to go get a beer.
Okay, well, I'm sure that Simon and I can keep up your side of the conversation.
Sure.
While you do that.
Hold on, I'm getting a text message.
From a large-breasted woman. Before we start the podcast tonight, I'd like to point out one thing. And that is, there's going to be a shocking twist ending to this podcast.
It's a fucking shock even to me. Yeah. Interesting.
So, wait for that.
Okay,
it's
going to
be fun.
Can they start speculating early on?
They can start speculating. And I'm actually going to go get the timer, which I forgot to set before the podcast. So now you two can take up.
Hey, while our viewers are speculating, Stu, what do you think the twist is going to be?
I think it might have something to do...
My prediction is that these podcasts are not actually being put up onto the internet at all, and Dan's just been recording them. Like, the mic was never even plugged in. That's going to be the twist ending.
That's going to be an ironic twist ending.
For me, the twist ending will be that I find out that we're actually recording this for the internet, because I thought this was just some vanity piece that he did.
No, okay, see, we were totally on different pages then.
Isn't that weird how that happens?
It's like the mirror darkly, man.
Exactly, dude. We're like opposite days.
So, Dan. Dan's got a beer. Stu's got a beer. I got a beer. We're all ready to sit down and have a good talk about the movie we watched this evening, which was...
Saw 3.
That's right, Saw 3.
Yeah. You're smiling.
I am smiling. First of all, who among us here has seen Saw 1 and 2? I know I have.
Should I raise my hand or
say that? No, say that you have.
I've actually seen both movies here.
I have as well, despite, I would say, not being a Saw fan.
Sure, that's fair.
Why aren't you a Saw fan, Dan?
Let me go first. Here's the reason why I'm not a Saw fan. It's because they're not horror movies at all. Let me explain. There's
because
nothing
when
about...
I go to the video store, they are filed under the horror section.
That's true. The problem is most video stores don't feel comfortable having a section called snuff films, which is why the Saw movies get slid over to the horror section. There has never been anything in any one of the three Saw movies that was scary. Because they're not horror movies. They're clearly not setting out to make you afraid. What they're doing is they're like, hey, you want to see a bunch of fucked up tortures for the next 2 hours?
It's a buffet of unpleasantness.
Yes, what it is like, it's almost as though someone was like, man, if I ever made a horror movie, like, I'd have this cool death scene, and they're like, oh yeah, that's weird, I'd have this one, and they're like, hey, fuck that. Let's just put all these cool-ass death scenes in a movie. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, no, it's called a snuff film.
It does sort of suggest the question, like, are there people out there saying to themselves, I want something that's just going to make me feel really, like, unpleasant and uncomfortable and wince. I want to wince for 2 hours.
I'm really looking for an experience that, I don't know, is just kind of fucked up. You know? Like, I want to see something really fucked up.
And I said this earlier. I want to make it clear. I am far from a moralist when it comes to movies.
Okay.
I love violence in movies.
It's great.
I love sex in movies. Right. Like, I think that those are two of the primary reasons people go to the movies.
Yes, absolutely.
In terms of, like, horror movies that have torture as an element, I thought Hostel was a good movie. Because I think that Hostel is sort of, like, in a lot of ways, like, sort of a black comedy, and it's also making a point about, like, Americans abroad.
Well, I mean, I think the point, though, is that the Hostel's got a lot going for it. It isn't just a series of, like, man, that's fucked up, huh? How about that shit? So, yeah, going into this, I was admittedly expecting a lot more of the same from this goddamn Saw movie, and I was not fucking disappointed at all. Bunch of fucked up tortures and deaths that were all just sound fury signifying nothing.
You know, I'm going to agree with both
of you. Whoa, huh?
And say that back I don't up. Like Saw movies. Partly because they're not horror movies. Partly because, you know what? I think Rube Goldberg shit is kind of boring. If
now,
I really
want to
play
minute.
An awesome game of Mousetrap,
hold
I'll
on.
Crack out the box.
Now, you are a admitted lover of Final Destination 2, however.
That's true.
Shit.
It doesn't get much more Rube Goldberg than that.
Shit! Turn off the podcast! Stop recording!
Oh my god. Okay. Do I need... Okay, now I'm going to defend Final Destination 2. For one, that movie is way stupider.
Yeah, that's true.
There's more explosions.
It clearly is a movie that does not take itself near as seriously as the creators of Saw demand that you take their movies.
Well, right, because Saw seems to believe that it is imparting a moral lesson to the viewer.
I think that's the worst part. The worst part is you watch these fucking movies, and I'm 100% convinced that whoever's responsible for this filmmaking, I don't know if it's the director or the screenwriter or whomever, someone is firmly convinced that, like, it feels like every time I watch the movie, I can see them behind my shoulder being like, Saw's got a point, though. I mean, think about it. Saw's got a fucking point, man. Like, no, fuck that! What? How is this a fucking movie? How are you literally advocating, like, you know what? That guy was kind of a douchebag. Probably should have had his fucking feet chopped off. I don't know. Whatever.
The thing is that if that was actually the case, if you actually think that these guys spend that much time thinking about their fucking movie, that they would actually come up with some kind of like moral judgment, they'd be like, you know what? Saul's got a point, like, humanity kind of deserves to have their feet chopped off. The thing is that that's not the case. What I think it is that here's a bunch of fucking dickheads that saw the movie 7, popular movie 7, and they're like, you know what? Let's just do that a lot. That shit made a lot of money. I like making money. Let's make a shitload of those.
Right, but in 7...
I like that. I like Stu's reading because it's just as cynical, but for totally different reasons.
But in 7, they make it clear that this guy is crazy. That he's obsessed with the 7 deadly sins, and that makes him crazy.
Sure. So, I mean, I think that we could say then what Stu's suggesting is that they are not only... completely lacking any sense of originality, but they are also crappy at making movies.
I mean, the difference is Jigsaw sees people who, I guess, have some sort of ennui about their lives. They're like...
Well, in most cases, that's what it seems to come down to. In most cases, it's never like, none of the people did, like, a bad thing. Like, it wasn't like, oh yeah, that guy raped 10,000 grandmothers. He was a true monster. It's like, yeah, You're just fucking not appreciating what you got very much. So check this shit out. I'm about to fucking put a shitload of bombs in your mouth. See if you can pull them all out in time. Well, that's what wired your jaw shut. Fucking have fun, dude. Here's a hammer. Like, this is the fucking movie. Right now, I hear it. Don't steal that. That's already copyright. You can't put that in Saw 5. Go to hell. No.
It's called Hammer Mouth.
No, it's called... Wait, it's called...
Lots of bombs in your mouth.
No, hold on. It's not called Saw. Let's call it... The Jigsaw Murder. No, wait, no, that's already taken two, I think.
Probably. Can I say, one thing that bothers me about the Saw movies is I do not find the Saw mask creepy in any way.
Well, that's, you know what, that's a really good point.
It looks like some, perhaps an eighth grader made a pinata in art class, and they were like, what'll sort of beef up this poorly made, like, face? I don't know, I'll put a little, like, spirals on the cheeks.
You know, let me tell you something. I think we could probably use that as a touchstone for the entire Saw movie experience made by 8-year-olds. I think let's just... Because, again, like, I mean, I don't mean to harp on this, but the fact that this, for it being ostensibly a scary movie, and it's just people dying, it's just such, like, this weird, like, childish idea of what's scary. Oh, man, seeing someone die, weird. Like, it's so stupid.
Right, what if you had to make a choice... between putting your face in acid or having ants eat off your legs.
Like, that's what it said. Like, it's like a bunch of fuckers sitting around. Like, it's a bunch of high school freshmen sitting around getting high in their parents' basement. Like, wait. Which would you rather do? Have all your fingernails pulled off by fucking skeletons? Or have to, like, I don't know.
That's a much cooler movie. If there was, like, a movie about skeletons pulling people's fingernails off.
That's
not a
really scary skeleton.
That would scare me. But you're saying it's like, would you rather the movie?
Right.
Yep. Would you rather have sex with a bunch of monsters or get in a fist fight with two aliens?
Or, like, the classic one being that a friend of mine posited to me was, if your dad was dying of a terminal illness and the only way to cure him was to fuck him in the ass, would you do it?
That was given to you by your best friend of all, I'd imagine. Somebody that you rank really highly in, like, in the world of people.
Well, no, this person is very near and dear to me, but there was a period of time where the fucking Would You Rather game was getting a lot of fucking playtime. And that one was the one that, like, oh, dude, I don't want to play this
retarded
game. That's
lodged in your mind.
Like, it is. It's
first of all,
fucking Adele be burned in there.
First of all, I think you would have difficulty maintaining an erection. Partially with the fact that you're probably in a hospital.
Sure. If you're also having to deal with the fact, Stuart, you're trying to have sex with your father's
aunt. If your
aunts.
Father was dying, you would maintain that erection.
Yeah, you would find the somewhere, would, like...
Somewhere deep in your heart.
The fucking shits would give you that erection. The erection you so desperately needed to save your father.
Now,
we're getting off topic.
I would like to say, I mean, in addition to the whole torture problem, the non-scariness of torture, and I, you know, don't get me wrong, if I was getting tortured in real life, pretty fucking scary.
Sure.
But as a third... party.
Well, again, like, I mean, I just want to throw this out there because I don't want to get bogged down in this weird psychological conversation that I don't think any of us are equipped to actually follow through with. But I don't know, like, if it's, like, that mechanism in your brain to get scared watching a good scary movie is probably not the same, I would imagine, reaction that's happening as you're anticipating, I don't know, getting tortured. I think it's a different thing. I think that's the point that these fucking Saw fuckers seem to miss. There are things that are scary, and there are things that I would really very sincerely rather not happen to me.
The thing about the Saw franchise is that so much of it is, rather than any kind of fear, it's that, like, almost excited anticipation as to see what kind of cool torture they're going to introduce. Like, oh man, he just entered another room. Oh shit, the door just slammed behind him. What awesome new trap did he enter into? Oh no, a bunch of hammers are going to smash his face.
Now let's talk about those.
Is hammer suspended above the door in like a bucket?
No.
That would be the worst trap ever, Dan. You are not hired to work on my fucking movie. I came up with that cool skeleton idea.
This is if Saw was less a mastermind than a prankster.
Sure, like a crazy prankster.
Yep.
Now let's talk about what a fucking mastermind Saw is, because he's a fucking super mastermind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The end twist of this movie, twist as, it's a loose interpretation of the word, but to make this work, Saw has to be able to anticipate exactly what every human in the film is going to do in each scenario.
And he always does it perfectly. And that's what I admire about him, because he's a genius.
I mean, he's
so a genius. That's the thing.
He's 3 for 3 at this point.
Yeah, he's... Oh, God. He's so fucking good. And he's so good at fucking designing these goddamn traps. And I don't get where he gets the money for the traps. Or
the Saw Consortium.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I think is interesting is first your confusion is how Saw must have gone to some kind of like school where he learned all about how people react to certain environments and situations.
Studies.
But Simon is more interested in the actual physical, like the trap aspect, like financing, how he creates this death like warehouse.
Which and right. See what that does is you've just cast a light on the multifaceted nature of Saw's genius.
Well, so I think
it operates on so many fucking levels.
I think Simon wants like a Saw movie that's kind of like Batman Begins, where there's a scene where like Michael Caine is like,
so Saul. What we're going to do is we're going to order all of the bat traps through...
Okay, first of all, Dan, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. That is an incredible Michael Caine impression. I'm tremendously impressed by
it. You practiced that?
A little bit.
It's fucking really good. It's a really good Michael Caine impression. Here's the thing. I think the problem is the movie at this point, they have to make that move. Like, they have to explain it. It's the same problem like we were talking about when we were watching the goddamn thing. If they had just in the first one, or maybe it was more the second one where they revealed like, oh, he's like a guy who has like terminal brain cancer.
No, that was the first.
That
movie.
Was the first one. If they had just kept their fucking mouths shut and was like, yeah, you know what? He's just a mysterious shadowy figure that fucks people up. He's a real weird dick. Instead, they fucking had to do that goddamn thing where it's like, well. We owe the viewer some explanation. Like, no, you don't. Because everyone went into it. Like, I guarantee you, people don't go see slasher movies to be like, wait a minute. They didn't explain very well why the killer kills people. It doesn't fucking matter. That's not why you see those fucking movies.
And speaking of which, I have never seen a killer talk more in a movie than Jigsaw talks in this film. Everything Jigsaw says in this movie is like... the final supervillain explanation in a Bond movie, or so, like every monologue out of his mouth.
Daniel, you didn't realize this when I started the movie. I'm going to talk for the next 15 minutes. Then you will see a quick snippet of someone dying, followed by 20 more minutes of conversation.
What you didn't understand is I had this planned out from the beginning. See, it all started on October the 21st. When I took pictures of you and your little son leaving the playground, and then I decided to kill him.
Oh, God. So we have a lot of problems with the Saw franchise in general.
Sure.
What I would like to point out is problems exclusively to Saw 3,
sure.
Since that's what we just immediately watched.
Well, all right. This is the movie where Lady Saw comes into her own. We don't know the character's name.
I'm pretty sure she's called Lady Saw.
Amanda.
I like Lady Saw.
Let's call her Lady Saw. Saw and
played
Lady Saw.
Played by Shawnee Smith.
Subsequent movies will reveal Baby Saw.
Who,
stay tuned for that.
Was in the remake of The Blob and had like a small part in the Stand miniseries.
Yeah,
you may remember.
Oh, yeah. She was the guy that Nick Brown Below's, the deaf guy, met in town.
The crazy,
with dog.
Crazy woman. Mm-hmm. Kind of pretty
sure.
For a female serial killer.
Sure. Lady Saw.
Lady Saw. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to talk about this movie alone because we were saying that this movie appears to be convinced that all of the audience is like a huge Saw fan that has studied Saw lore, you know, because so much of this movie is a flashback to the earlier films to show us that Lady Saw was actually there the whole time. Like, even in the first movie, before she was really introduced as a character other than like one of his victims, like... Hey, guess what? You know,
she was
the one...
dude that kidnapped that one guy. Weird,
yeah,
huh?
She put Carrie Elwes in that room.
Yeah, like, all these movies, first of all, seem to take place no more than, like, within a week of each other. And it's all, like, and they're at this point, by the third one, it seems like they are retrofitting a trilogy in. Yeah, but really, this is how that thing that happened in the first one plays out now. And the problem is, I don't care. No one remembers what happened in the first fucking Saw. What they remember is that Carrie Elwes at the end... was fucking hamming it up, and he sawed off his own leg. And then the guy was in the room the whole time. That's all fucking anyone remembers. Because it was not a memorable movie.
Well, they made 3 of them. So.
Yeah, I know. They keep making money. However, let's also point out that Lionsgate will apparently distribute any goddamn thing.
That's true.
Well, they have a shotgun style of marketing, where it's like, as many movies as possible, we just throw them out there. One of them will stick to the wall.
I would like to point out, though, with what you said about the trilogy, the funny thing is, Saw 2... was actually a movie that was rushed into production when Saw was popular, and they just took a script that was sort of similar to Saw, and they turned it into a Saw film.
That's an awesome piece of trivia.
It's like, you know, Die Hard 3 and 4 both started out as non-Die Hard scripts, and they just like, we need another Die Hard. Let's just take this thing off the
pile. I got
this
thing kicking around the script pile.
And so it's weird now that they've like decided to...
John Klingle.
They gotta link all the movies so tightly together.
Well, but I guess I just don't understand why it's necessary. Why they feel that that's like, we gotta justify our existence a little bit here, you know? Like, what's the bigger story? What's going on with Lady Saw? What's her motivations?
Well, you know, yeah, like Friday the 13th managed to squeeze out, you know, like, tens of movies basically just replaying the same scenario.
Right, and you know what? They're all fucking really fun to watch.
Number 7 like, is really good.
Yeah, the 7th one is a really good one because it's got a lot of interesting new things in it.
Like the telekinetic girl.
Yeah, it's got this fucking psyche girl, which was a really cool twist.
That was really awesome. Jason looked really cool in that one, too.
He looked his most rotten. Let's not talk about how awesome Friday the 13th is as a franchise. Because I even like Jason X.
How slowly it took us to get into the actual Saw and how often we digress into other movies indicates just how much we enjoy the film.
Well, it's a stupid movie, and it's watchable. Like, it isn't like stupid. It's just such like a dumb thing. It's like, imagine like if someone was like, hey, want to see me do a handstand and then also like hop up and down on my hands at the same time? And like, yeah, I guess. And they do it like really, really well. But ultimately, you don't really care because it's not that cool of a thing. You're like, no, that's all right, I guess. Like, I don't really care, though. Like, no, wait, though, I'm going to do it again. This time I'll have a box on the bottom of my feet. Like, no, that's fine, dude. I kind of got the point the first time. I'm like, no, wait, though. What if I told you that this person over here taught me that skill and you're there to do it with me? I don't care. I really don't care at all.
That's the best analogy I've ever heard.
Okay, my problems with Saw 3 are as follows.
A.
It was really boring. There was a lot of dead time.
There was
like,
huge passage
like
dead
during
time.
The weird brain surgery part. Really boring.
There was like a 15-minute brain surgery that felt like it occurred in real time. They were showing each step of the brain surgery as if it was a training
and a
video.
Lot of it, right. Well, a lot of it was shots of Saw's face, and he was kind of like... He was giving this kind of weird, like, James Spader from Sex, Lies, and Videotape sexy face that I really didn't know how to read. Now, after that, there was also, like, a dude who played Robert the Bruce in Braveheart, like, trying to save, like, trying to get revenge on his, like, son's killer. The problem with that was that, like, it was such, like, weirdly tacked on. The whole point of the story was more, like, the bad guy.
Right.
And his, like, protege, which does, like, this is a fucking horror movie, dude.
Right.
What the fuck? Like, this isn't, like... Hey, I need to really understand what's going on in Jigsaw's life. Like, I don't give a shit because that's not scary.
Or interesting.
Or interesting, for instance. Like, where do they go to buy groceries? Let's investigate that.
Like, how are things going between Saw and Lady Saw? Like, I wonder if they're having any problems. Oh, they are. Shit.
That's scary.
Thank Christ there's this really cool backdrop story involving Robert the Bruce.
Yeah, and also, at the end, it all turns out that it was a test that Jigsaw... was putting on Lady Saw.
And that's how we found out they were having problems. Because he felt the need to test
Man,
it.
That's a relationship now, in trouble.
You should have seen it coming.
When a man comes up with an elaborate series of murder-related tests
this is
for
not
his girlfriend.
Sure, this is not the kind of guy you want to be a part of. You're making bad decisions at this point. There are many other fish in the sea. Nice guys. Good guys.
Good non-serial killers.
Sure, they probably would murder anybody with a weird elaborate bear trap.
Well,
they probably would never come up.
You know, there's that one part in the movie where that lady is naked, first of all, first nude scene in a Saw movie. Was
the ice
Saw
lady.
3. Yeah, yep. And then she got sprayed with a bunch
icy face.
She got sprayed with a bunch of water, and then she froze to death, and that was really weird. And not
That's true.
Not scary at all.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, horror movie.
Was it erotic, Stuart?
It was. I actually had to sneak away for...
Well, this was the unrated version.
It was so unrated.
It was pretty erotic. Icy Face died, and then there was a guy who was going to get drowned in ground up decomposing pigs.
Then he got shotgunned.
Yeah, but that guy got saved, and then there was like... Well, you know what? I don't even want to talk about all the shit that had this movie. All I want to talk about is the fact that this guy, Robert the Bruce, has spent the last however many years of his life consumed with the fact that he must
claim some kind of justice for the death of his son. He must have it. There is no sense in living in this world. It's a big idiot machine. It's all horror. There must be reason in his life. There must be some recompense. So Saw sets up this thing where it's like, here's your chance to get that revenge, blah, 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 blah. And at each step of the way, Robert the Bruce reveals, you know what? Not that bad of a guy. He tries to save him each time, sometimes succeeding, other times not, but he can let it go. The last 10 seconds of the fucking movie, it's all this big elaborate scheme where Saul's like, here's your chance to kill me, Robert the Bruce. And then he fucking does it! Like, this just happened, dude, 12 minutes ago. And nothing really that bad happened to you.
Oh, God!
I don't understand this character's motivation at all!
Speaking of this just happening 12 minutes ago, I think it bears mentioning that at the end, while Lady Saw is lying dying, Saw explains his scheme in great detail to her, and the flashbacks go right up to things that occurred 1 minute earlier in the movie.
Remember
when that happened a minute ago? Now there's a bit of a different twist in there, isn't there?
Like, not especially.
You're seeing it in a new light.
Like, what you see is the fucking synapses in my brain started firing immediately, and it's like, oh, okay, it was a big test at the end. Like, I remember 20 seconds ago when she shot that lady. Why is this a flashback?
So yeah, I'm Robert the Bruce, okay? I just got through this crazy death trap where three dudes accidentally got killed, who I kind of wanted to die, but I tried to save, but they still died.
Now, really you're gross. No worse for the wear at this point.
Yeah, I'm no worse for the wear. I end up having, like, I get a gun with one bullet in it. You know, I'm going through this weird-ass warehouse. All of a sudden, I see somebody get shot. It turns out it's my wife, and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't want that to happen. So I shoot the person who shot my wife, and I'm standing in this weird, like, emergency room, and my wife's dying. She's got this weird-ass collar with a shitload of shotgun shells strapped to it. I'm like, man, that's weird. And then I see this dude talking a lot who's lying in bed with a bunch of, like, he looks really sick, and
some dude you've never seen before.
Who I've literally never seen before. And for absolutely no reason would I think he would have any effect on me, because to tell you the truth, he looks like a total invalid.
Right. Well, he's literally completely an invalid at this point.
Yeah, so why would I want to chop him up with a giant, like,
He then says to you, there's only, I can get your wife to safety. There's a chance that she can still be saved, because she's bleeding to death right now. There's a chance that she can be saved. I can save her. The only thing I need for you to do is just let it all go. This final piece.
Wait, Simon. You're not saying it in the creepy enough voice.
There's only one more thing you have to do, Robert the Bruce, and that's forgive me. Or you can torture me with these torture implements. And you know what? He just fucking kills him. And it's fucking really weird. It's a really fucking weird thing to do.
I think you sound a lot like Ted Levine from TV's Monk.
Yeah. Well, Ted Levine specifically in, like, Joyride. Candy cane.
I thought we were or like Silence of the Lambs.
Sweet ass little candy cane.
Yeah.
Could you fuck me?
I'd fuck me.
I'd fuck me real good.
So that's what he sounded like.
Sure, I was more like that guy. My Saw, my impression of Saw, not as good as Dan's Michael Caine.
I think I might prefer.
Now listen.
Yeah, he's doing it again. Awesome.
Three. Now listen. All you have to do is get rid of your anger towards me. If you do that, I can get your wife to safety. There'll be plenty of time. Everything will be okay. Just leave me alone. Forgive yourself and him, and it'll be fine. That's Michael Caine's song.
And I had my hands over my eyes, and I fucking thought Michael Caine was in the room with me. It was fucking uncanny.
Ooh. I would have liked Michael Caine's song. I would like Ted Levine's song.
Hey, how great would it have been if Michael Caine had been in that movie? That's a fucking watchable guy.
The thing is that I don't. I think you're being unfair to Tobin Bell, because the actor who played.
First of all,
the
Tobin Bell, like, somehow
this is Tobin Bell's gravy train.
This is his softball pitch. Like, all right, we're gonna need you to act. Ish.
Wait, are you saying he's normally like that?
No, what I'm saying is that, like, okay, you're gonna need to show up. Right. Your actual screen time is gonna, if you condense it, come down to about a half an hour.
What you're gonna do is you're gonna need to look creepy.
Well, we have
I think
to,
you have covered.
Right, because no normally, to you, somehow you have this thing with your eyes where both eyelids are closed in the middle, but you're looking around and moving somehow.
So just look creepy, just do your token
that,
thing.
Yeah, that thing right there you're doing right there where you're looking at me. You're
and
fucking creepy.
Lie in this bed, and that's pretty much all we need.
What I'm saying is that it was probably not his most demanding project.
You also have to record a bunch of things on these little mini cassette tapes.
Right. You can do that from home, though. Really, just literally just send us in the tapes. We can use those as the props themselves.
Because the actual sound effects they use in the movie were the actual fucking like tapes they play. It wasn't fucking ADR work or anything. That's how they got that amazing sound quality, because they're from fucking like home fucking tape recorders.
Yeah, that might have said. Because those fucking little fuckers, man, we got a real good sound out of those.
Exactly, dude. Like, I don't see why more like popular recording it.
You should just fucking stock up a studio, whatever music studio you run, with a bunch of those little fuckers. Because, man, you get a fucking crisp sound, man. Like a crisp, sharp sound.
All right. It's time to render our final judgments. And,
shit bodes ill for Saw 3.
And I have to remind you and our listeners of the official Flophouse categories. Is this a movie you would not recommend to anyone? A movie that you may recommend as a good, bad movie, a funny movie, or a movie that you secretly kind of like.
Sure. I'm gonna create for my verdict a special subcategory of the second one. First of all, this movie's horrible, and I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. However, there is a huge population of people out there who are douchebags that love Saw. They should fucking see it, because you know what? It's a fucking totally Saw movie.
They're going to go nuts for that.
Yeah, they're going to fucking eat this shit up! So you guys should totally check it out.
All right, fair enough. That's a... I can confidently say that Simon's right. If people like Saw movies, they will like this Saw movie, as it is a Saw movie.
I don't remember your verdicts that you you just
make
said.
Up your own. I did.
You know, for the first time in a while... I had some fun watching this movie. I mean, I think it's retarded, but I had fun, like, saying, like, that's retarded. I was also really drunk, so that might affect what I thought.
So what you're saying, though, is that you might recommend it.
I might recommend it to watch and be like, this is retarded.
To have
hey,
a good
dudes.
Laugh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say that this is by far my least favorite movie we've watched.
I would probably agree. Well, I didn't.
The Sound of Thunder was the worst.
Yeah, that movie was way fucking shitty.
It was worse, but I enjoyed watching it more.
See, I didn't.
This movie I just found unpleasant.
Sound of Thunder was tiresome.
Tired. And the thing is, I've noticed like a trend, like Simon usually get like angriest at the movies, and Stuart is sort of philosophical, whereas I'm more analytical.
Sure, those are different styles.
But,
I have a lot of fucking spice in me.
But this movie just made me angry.
Well, see, this is, see, now you understand.
Holy shit, so we're changing roles.
No, because I fucking, it makes me mad too. I don't analyze it, I fucking hate this goddamn movie. I'm just filled with fucking poison and vinegar for it. And see, now you fucking know, now you can see what it's like to be me, where you can't enjoy things and you're just filled with hatred for everything?
Sure.
Like venom, like yeah. Snake venom.
Just all kind of like black shit and centipedes. It's all I'm filled with.
Sounds delicious.
It is.
It sounds like something that would make a great intro to a Saw movie.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that actually would make a much better intro than any of the other Saw
intros. You know, like a shitload of black stuff with centipedes? Like,
well, like if a dude walked out and was like, didn't you know? Saw's already dead! And he cuts open his chest and a shitload of centipedes jump out? That would be fucking really cool.
And the dude who came out would be wearing like a pig face mask, like that.
Yeah, I guess. I think that pig face mask that they wear is fucking retarded, by the way. That was a stupid idiot's idea. That's for stupid heads from Stupid Town.
Let's put Stupid Town far behind us. Let's, as Stupid Town recedes in our rear view mirror,
sure.
Let's,
good segue, by the way. Good segue.
Let's talk about things that we like.
Sure.
Over in Like Town.
I fucking love Like Town!
So,
hey, Stu, what do you like?
Again, it is October. Maybe an overlooked horror film recommendation of some kind.
Stewie, what do you got?
I have a really bad memory right now, but
what was that fucking movie you just watched?
Yeah, I was going to recommend that. I watched Black Sheep last night, and now it wasn't a great movie or really that good of a movie in the long run. But it had really good gore effects. It had some really good shots of the beautiful New Zealand countryside. And at the end of the day, it was a movie about sheep.
Yeah. Visit sunny New Zealand.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
I can do this stuff too sometimes.
Funny accent day here at the
Flophouse. It was about. Wait, which one am I going to
do? I don't know, just come on. Say the rest of your thing.
It was about sheep who kill humans. It was terrible. It's awesome.
Dan, what do you like?
Well,
what's your favorite attraction in Like Town?
This isn't that overlooked, but it is overlooked compared to a lot of other zombie movies. I would say people, if they're looking for a good zombie movie, maybe they haven't seen Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Now, like, Return of the Living Dead came to be because John Russo, the guy who co-wrote Night of the Living Dead with George Romero, he owned half of the rights to the whole sort of,
the
like...
concept of the Living concept. Dead.
So he wrote his own novel follow-up to Night of the Living Dead, and then that novel was turned into a movie that basically had nothing to do with that novel, but Dan O'Bannon, who wrote the screenplays for Alien and Total Recall, directed Return of the Living Dead.
There's that awesome part in Return of the Living Dead where that punk couple is in the graveyard, and the one guy's like, "You think this is a costume? This is a way of life!"
Yeah, well, and then she takes her clothes off. Totally
yeah, she gets completely naked.
That was fucking awesome. That movie
I think
awesome.
She was wearing a merkin, though, so...
I still masturbated.
But, you know...
Imagining the hot-ass merkin she was wearing.
I assumed it wasn't a merkin.
You didn't know any better.
I think that you said it best, Stuart, when you defined it as sort of a punk rock remake of Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
It fucking is. It's
like
awesome
movie. It's a punk comedy zombie film, and I love it.
For my recommendation, I'm going to keep in the same vein, which is it's very timely, because a friend of mine and I had sort of revisited an argument we've had for literally years and years. A little bit of backstory about me, I think the original Night of the Living Dead is retarded and stupid.
Boo.
But, let's see, and Dan is not the friend, actually. It's a different friend that I'm thinking of. However, I'm going to take care of Dan after this. The fucking theatrical remake that came out in the mid-90s of the Night of the Living Dead directed by Tom Savini, is a fucking delight. It is a delightful zombie movie.
Now, here's what I'll say about that.
No, you're not allowed to fucking jump in. This will be a whole new goddamn conversation.
Can I just say that I do not agree that it is a better movie. I love the original Night of the Living Dead. However, I do think that the Tom Savini remake is underrated.
Okay.
It caught a lot of flack
sure.
because it was remaking a seminal zombie
sure, movie. It's a movie that was unjustly canonized by people. So people attacked like, oh, how dare you, why would you remake this?
No, I was not saying
well, I think Dan, what you're saying is that it's not a very good movie, you don't care for it.
Well, remember that Simon also hates Halloween, so take...
I do, I...
We're not talking about Halloween. Halloween. Next thing you're going to fucking start fucking defending Dario Argento movies, and don't look
you,
now, and
you,
I will beat you to death.
You know for a fact
the
that
original
I do not
Halloween
like Dario
is
Argento
very, 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 very bad.
I don't
want to
talk about
film.
It. It's making me upset, Simon. Let's move on.
Okay.
All right. Well,
wait, I was promised a twist ending, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
We're still
no,
moving, dude.
I was gonna come to that twist ending. Well, the twist ending is this, friends. We're all werewolves.
Holy
wait
shit.
Wait a minute. I'm a fucking werewolf, really?
You didn't see that coming, did you?
I fucking totally did. When do I transform?
Well, I've been eating all these silver bullets then.
So shit, she's gonna die. Quick, call a werewolf doctor.
Eating silver bullets is perfectly fine.
Really?
However, if you know, if someone had thrown a silver bullet at you, say, as like trying to get it into your mouth, like with a piece of popcorn, and it had hit you in the chest.
In like vital areas.
It would have killed you.
You would have died.
So I don't need to go to a werewolf doctor.
No, good. Close one. That was a fucking close call.
So,
wait, Dan, did you turn us into werewolves, or have we just always been werewolves and never knew?
No, we've been werewolves the whole time.
Oh, God, I fucking love twist endings.
Isn't...
Oh, they're so much fun. Isn't it fun to learn you're a fucking werewolf?
Well, the thing is that now I'm thinking about, like, earlier on in the night when I was like, man, wouldn't it be weird if I was a werewolf? werewolf.
Right, I'm remembering that time that I turned into a werewolf and killed that fucking kid.
You're like, holy shit, it's all falling into place. Just
well, what
like you
don't,
saw.
But what you don't realize is right now, there are podcast listeners across America who are tearing their earbuds out of their ears in horror.
Because they can't believe, like, they were werewolves the whole time!
They're totally spooked out by the fact that they've been listening to three werewolves talk about a movie.
Those guys are werewolves, werewolves, werewolves. Your father was killed by a werewolf, werewolf, werewolf. These guys are werewolves, werewolves. Like, ah, oh God, the nightmare!
Close up on the eyes.
Yeah, duh, 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 duh.
Zoom in on the anti-werewolf literature in his room.
And then it pulls back, and there's like one of those swirling spirals behind his head, and he's gripping his head in madness.
And then he swirls,
madness!
Then he swirls into the middle of the swirl, a swirl looking very similar to the cheek of the doll in the Saw movies.
Weird.
Full circle.
Oh
man, good times. Hey, should we talk about that fucking really nice thing you showed me? That thing for that guy.
What the hell are you talking about? That one fucking thing on the internet.
He's talking about that good the compliment we received from our fan.
We want to shout out to our one fan.
Yeah, what's the cat's name? What was his handle?
Like Aaron? A. Aaron?
That's pretty cool.
Well, we're probably getting your name wrong, for which I apologize. I know he's Canadian. Thanks, bro. I appreciate it. I hope everything's going great in Canada.
Yeah.
I hope that no werewolves attack you up in Canada.
Why don't you send us some Canadian money? Because as I understand it, that's where the future lies.
Yes, your currency is valued at substantially higher than our own. So fucking enjoy that. Enjoy your increased buying power.
Speaking of the future, very soon there's going to be a little movie, movie released in theaters called Saw 4. So
you dig, I knew you were going to say.
The thing is that any complaints that I have, probably once the fourth film's released, that movie will probably clear up any confusion that we've had, and when looking back at the trilogy, we'll be like, oh, that's why they were just shitty and full of torture and bullshit.
You know what, Stu? Thanks for bringing it home. You know what? It's so often I think that what are these little experiments of ours have lacked is a wise figure, a voice of wisdom. Because you know what? I'm sure the fourth Saw, they'd probably be like, oh, man. So I really harshly misjudge those other ones.
You know, I kind of view myself as like one of those like voice of wisdom, like Obi-Wan Kenobi type characters.
Sure, like an Obi-Wan Kenobi, or like a really like respected, like grandfatherly figure.
Thanks, Doctor and Dr. Math Magician. I fucked that joke.
Burn.
Edit that out.
Don't edit it. Leave it in. It's a good burn.
So, next time, I believe we will be watching, if I'm not wrong, Perfect Stranger?
Yeah. Well, do we want to watch another horror movie, or do we want to watch Perfect Stranger?
First of all, Perfect Stranger is a horror movie.
I got it out of the horror section.
So, Perfect Stranger next week.
I just want to mention that you can visit us on the web by going to theflophousepodcast.blogspot.com or send us an email at theflophousepodcast@gmail.com, and if we get a good message, we may respond during the podcast. Also, if you go to the website and you have a little time, click on the link on the side and vote for us at Podcast Alley. Let other people know that you like the show, or click on the link and write a review in iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Talk about how much we suck.
Or recommend a movie for us to watch in future flops.
That would be good. So, we had a lot of laughs, but I think it's about that time. Mm-hmm. The flop house is receding in our cars.
Rearview mirror.
It's getting smaller and smaller, rearview mirror.
And so, as we wave goodbye, I would like to say...
Goodbye, Jerk Town. Goodbye, Like Town. Goodbye, podcast.
That my name is Dan McCoy.
My name is Simon Fisher.
And I'm Stuart Wellington.
Good night.
Good night.
Dude, by the way, I'm the one who sounds like Humpty. It's not Simon. Simon sounds like a loud asshole.
Yeah, he sounds like a loud asshole.
I'd like to point out that you can visit the show online at www. Wait, hold on.
No, it's okay. Just type in. Just go to your computer. Just go to your computer and type in the internet.
And this is all gonna get.
And then the fucking no, because that was a good joke about the internet. Leave that in.
You're really committed to like. Naming which jokes are good at the time.
I know, because I feel really good about them sometimes.
Alright.
Okay, so you go onto the Webernet, and what would you have to push, Dan?
You'd put in HTTP.
http://www.
No, there's no www. That was what fucked me up the first time.
Oh, shit.
Blogspot.
Hold on, back.
It's blogspot.blogspot.
No one talk for a little bit.
Alright.